Some scriptures. I'm not actually going to read the entire text, but if you were not with us last week, I started this message out of this particular portion of the Gospel of Luke, and it's really a very strong portion of scripture with regards to that which Jesus is saying. Again, I don't think I'm going to get into it this morning, but into the text, I was going to preach the entire text, you're going to see a lot of woes. Whenever you see a lot of woes in the Bible, that is a strong word. That's a word of warning. And so this is strong language that Jesus uses here in chapter number 11 and chapter number 12. But look, if you would, before we have a word of prayer, in chapter 11 and verse 23. This was the verse of Scripture that really was the Scripture that spoke to my heart with regards to the theme in these messages. Jesus said this, "He that is not with me," let's all read it out loud together, would you? Chapter 11, verse 23, let's begin. "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth." Let's pray. Lord, bless now the message this morning. Help me as I preach this message. Please use me this morning as your instrument and as your vessel to accomplish your purpose for us being here. And to just speak to our hearts, Lord. Draw us closer to you. Again, if there's someone here today that's lost, we pray, Lord, for the salvation of their soul. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I gave this example last Sunday morning. I gave a baseball example, and I mentioned to the congregation last week that I am a Yankees fan. And the weekend before last was a difficult weekend for Yankees fans because the Red Sox, as most of you know who are Red Sox fans, they beat the Yankees 4 games in a row. And what made it even worse was the Yankees had actually in the first game taken a lead and it looked like they were going to really do well and they lost that game. And then the dagger, the worst, was the last game where the Yankees were winning right up to the end. And the Red Sox came back, as they do, it seems, in every game this year, and they won. So the point was, there is no neutrality between the Yankees and the Red Sox. You are either a Yankees fan, and I did mention this last week, and you are, if your heart is right, or you are a Red Sox fan, and then you need revival. Amen? All you see is an amen. Anyhow, the point was, you take sides. Well, the reality is that was this message that I preached last week. Quickly, look at verse 17, middle of the verse. Jesus said, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. A house divided against itself falleth." And we looked at these things here. I mentioned there's no passivity. Jesus said, you've got to take sides. You can't sit on the fence, as Nancy mentioned in her testimony. You're either saved or you're not saved. You either know Christ or you don't know Christ. Okay, there's no middle ground. And Jesus was bringing this point home here with regards to just whose side are you on? And so last week we looked at these. There was an accusation that they made, and there was Jesus refuting the accusation. And then there was an application that we saw at the end of that message. But he picks it up here and begins in verse 29. And let's read just verses 29 down through verse 36, because I'm pretty sure that's all I'm going to preach this morning. So Jesus said, "And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, 'This is an evil generation. They seek a sign. And there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. No man, when he had lighted a candle, putteth it, in, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part light, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. So let's look at these verses here this morning. And if you noticed on your handout, this was really going to be my first point, and it was spiritual opportunity. Spiritual opportunity. And that's what Jesus is bringing here to these that are listening to him. There is a great crowd of people that have gathered together. The words that the Bible uses are, the people were gathered thick together. So this just wasn't just a few people. This was a large crowd that he was able to bring the word to. And he's dealing with them about really the possibility of this. Now listen, missed spiritual opportunities. And that's what I really want you to think about this morning. Missed spiritual opportunities. Because that's the point Jesus was making here. That they were about to miss a great spiritual opportunity. That entire generation was going to miss a spiritual opportunity. Now, he gives two examples. You notice he gave the example of Jonah, and he gives the example of the Queen of the South and the Queen of Sheba and Solomon. So first, with regards to Jonah, look at it again there. First, he says, this is an evil generation that seek a sign. If you remember from last week's message, look at verse 16. And others, of chapter 11, and others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. I warned the congregation last week, be careful that you do not base your Christianity on signs and wonders, that you base your Christianity on the Word of God. You know, speaking of missionaries, I remember one of our missionaries to the Ivory Coast of Africa coming and giving a report about the witch doctors in Africa and the ability of the witch doctors to heal people. In fact, some of it, they would wound people and then they had the ability to heal people. Now, that wasn't a healing from God. They were being empowered by Satan to heal. The Antichrist is going to be a man of signs and wonders and miracles. So always be careful. Don't base your Christianity on some experience that you have. Base your Christianity on what does the Bible say? What does the Word of God say? So Jesus then says this again to them. An evil generation seeks a sign. Listen, the Israelites had a history of God giving them sign after sign after sign. All they had to do is read the Old Testament. They believed the miracles of the Old Testament. They knew of Moses and God holding the Red Sea back for the children of Israel. They knew the story of Daniel. They knew one right after the other after the other. But Jesus says this to them. He says, I want you to understand this. No sign shall be given it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. So what's he talking about, for you that don't know? In the Old Testament, read sometime the book of Jonah. It's only four chapters long. But God called Jonah the prophet to go and preach to the Ninevites. The Ninevites would be in present day Iraq, maybe it's Iran, present-day Iran. And so Jonah was reluctant. The Ninevites, who by the way were Gentiles, were wicked people. They were cruel people. They had a history of being cruel. And time doesn't allow me to get in all of, to all of their cruelties, but they were just unmerciful, cutting people's heads off, having people drawn and quartered, having people burned alive. They were wicked, ungodly people. And God, and they had been ungodly and wicked to the Jews. And God says to Jonah, Jonah, I want you to go to the Ninevites and I want you to preach to the Ninevites. Jonah didn't want to go. It says in the book of Jonah that Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord. And he finds himself, he paid the fare, and he finds himself in a ship that's going to Tarshish. He's running from God. He's fleeing from God. God is giving him a spiritual opportunity, but he does not want to take advantage of it. And there he is in the belly of the ship, and the seas begin to rage. And again, the men who are on that ship trying to save the ship from sinking, they take everything out of the ship and they throw it overboard, trying to right that ship. And by the way, that's a real picture. Oftentimes, people will do everything in their lives when things are not going right to everything except depend upon the Lord. And finally, Jonah says to them, listen, the reason we're in this predicament is because I've been disobedient to God. God gave me a spiritual opportunity, and I'm not availing myself to that spiritual opportunity. And so they threw Jonah overboard. He told them. And the Bible says that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. Jesus tells us in the Gospel of Matthew, he says this. In fact, take your Bibles here because I'm kind of off track this morning. I'm not going to preach this whole message. Just go back to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 12. Matthew 12. So when Jesus says this here in the Gospel of Luke, we can refer back to the Gospel of Matthew, and we see exactly what Jesus meant by, this is the sign. Matthew chapter 12, and look at verse 40. Jesus said this, for as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And then he says here what we've already read too in Luke, the men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. So you go back to the Gospel of Luke. So you see what Jesus is saying here. Listen, this is the only sign that you need. That just as Jonas, 3 days he spent in the whale's belly, and 3 days later the whale spit him out. The story goes that Jonah went to Nineveh. He preached in Nineveh. Doesn't even seem like he preached a very fervent message in Nineveh. But the Ninevites repented. They got right with God. There was a tremendous revival there. And Jesus is saying to that generation, listen, there is a greater than Jonah here. The words that I speak to you. This was the Son of God speaking to them. It was a spiritual opportunity, and they were missing out on this opportunity. And every time the Word of God is preached, every time the Word of God is shared, every time the Word of God goes forth, there is a spiritual opportunity that is right there. Every time we have a church service and the Word of God is preached, there's a spiritual opportunity being presented before each of us. Every time. Whether it's in Sunday school or Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night, there's spiritual opportunities that God is presenting before each of us. And Jesus says, listen, he's saying to those people then, and to some degree this must have irked them, because primarily he's talking to Jewish people, and he's saying, all of those Gentiles in Nineveh, they got it. How come you're not getting it? A prophet went who didn't even seemingly preach fervently, and the Ninevites repented, and here I am, a greater than Jonah is here. He's speaking of himself. How is it that the Ninevites get it and you don't get it? Sometimes I wonder, how is it that the Ninevites get it and today we don't get it, and we have the advantage of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? Maybe it's because what Jesus said, you have ears to hear, but you shall not hear. So it's a real challenge here. It's a missed opportunity. And then he brings the next example. Look what he says in verse number 31. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. So here's what's happening. Back in the Old Testament, in fact, I'll have you turn here too. Take your Bibles and turn to, I believe it's 1 Kings chapter 10. 1 Kings chapter 10. So in 1 Kings chapter 10, the Bible says, and when the queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. Let me just stop there. So you understand, the kingdom of Solomon came into being after his father, King David, had died. Solomon was the next king of Israel. And the kingdom of Israel reached to its pinnacle when Solomon was the king. So word of Solomon's kingdom is stretching forth throughout the world. And so the queen of Sheba, she hears about this kingdom, the kingdom of the Israelites. And she begins to hunger and to think and when I say hunger, I mean spiritually hunger and intellectually hunger. What is this all about? And she takes a great entourage with her, and she travels to Israel to see this kingdom, to hear of the wisdom of Solomon. But don't miss this in verse 1. Look at it again. When she heard the fame of Solomon, and now these next words, concerning the name of the Lord. It wasn't just that Solomon was wise. It wasn't just that Solomon had built a great kingdom. It wasn't that Solomon had all kinds of wealth and all kinds of riches. People knew that it was because Solomon worshipped the one true living God. Who is this God, she wondered? Who is this God that Solomon worships? Who is this? Who is this? I want to know. She didn't want to miss out on a spiritual opportunity. And so she traveled, and she came to the kingdom, and she just looked around. She was in awe of what she saw. She could never have imagined what she was going to come into contact with. It says, look at verse 3, and Solomon told her all of her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which told her not. Now remember what Jesus said? There's a greater than Solomon here. Jesus knows all your questions too. And he's got all your answers. And when the queen of Sheba had seen Solomon's wisdom and the house that he built, the meat of his table, his servants, the attendants in verse 5, the clothes, the apparel, the cupbearers, all that she saw, the ascent as he went up to the house of the Lord. It says at the end of verse 5, there was no more spirit in her. Maybe she came, maybe with an attitude. Maybe she came and said, yeah, it can't be as great as they say it is. But it was greater than she could ever imagine. Think about that when I think about heaven. The Bible says that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for him, for them that love him. Wow, I'm looking forward to going to heaven. How about you? Amen? And leave this old world behind. And she would go on to say this. Verse 8. Happy are thy men. And everybody's happy. I wish we could always say that about a Baptist church. Amen. They're all happy, she said. All your servants are happy. But I love verse 7. Howbeit, I believed not the words, she said, until I came and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Verse 9, blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. And you go back to the Gospel of Luke. We're going to finish up. So Jesus brings this forth to them. He said, listen, the sign that you need to be looking for is the same sign of Jonah and why the Ninevites repented. Just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights and to be raised from the dead. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then he speaks of this, the wisdom of Solomon. There's a greater than Solomon here. As great as Solomon's kingdom was, as great as it was, the kingdom of God makes the kingdom of Solomon pale in comparison. And he's saying to them, you're missing out on spiritual opportunities. And let me just finish with this. Just how many opportunities does the Lord have to bring our way that we miss out on? Will the Ninevites rise up in judgment with regards to us? I mean, we live in a time, we live in a day, and we live in an age that we have unbelievable amounts of biblical tools and resources to learn about the things of God. The Ninevites didn't have that. They had one whitewashed prophet that said, you better repent or the end is coming. They repented. The Queen of Sheba comes and she sees everything there and she says, wow, the half has not been told. It's a fearful thing. Some people sit under, I mean, for me personally, how many opportunities, I'm thankful for the Lord's patience, because I didn't come to know Jesus Christ as my Savior until I was 24 years old, and I had sat under the preaching of the gospel for almost 24 years. How many opportunities does God have to give a person before they get saved? I fear people who will sit in church year after year after year and never receive Christ as their Savior. How many opportunities? How many opportunities when the Word of God is being preached and the whole, and for those of us who experienced that opportunity and we've received Christ, but we hear a message that God is using and God is speaking to our heart and God wants us to submit to that message or yield to that message, and we just let it go by. Another spiritual opportunity. Another missed opportunity. How many times do we hear a message and God speaks to our heart about sin in our life? And instead of right then and there, getting right with God, maybe there's anger, or maybe there's bitterness, or maybe there's whatever it might be, and the Spirit of God is bringing conviction to our heart, and there's a spiritual opportunity right before us. And instead of taking care of it right then and right there, well, maybe later we walk away and we miss a spiritual opportunity. And that's what Jesus is saying to these folks. Listen, there's a greater than Jonas here. How come you're just not getting it? There's a greater than Solomon here. How come you're not getting it? Are you listening? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. This morning, with our eyes closed and instruments are about to play, time after time we have opportunity to respond. Time after time God speaks to our hearts. And listen, I would not be honest if I wasn't as guilty as the next person. There are times, I'm sure, I know that God has spoke to my heart, given me a spiritual opportunity, and I let it go by the wayside. We have so much available to us today. You can turn on the television, and while not all of it is good, there are many, many programs on TV you can grow. You can turn on the radio and the same. You can turn on the internet. So many resources, so many tools, so many opportunities. So much good spiritual music today. And we let opportunity go by. So this morning, if you're here, there's an opportunity to be saved if you've never received Christ. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners, every single one of us. The Bible says, but God commendeth His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you saved this morning? There's a spiritual opportunity right now to receive Jesus as your Savior. Right now. You might say, Pastor, I'm not sure. Listen, if that's you, would you just do this? Pastor, I'm not sure this morning, but I'd like to be sure. Would you just slip up your hand and put it down? I'm not sure that I'm a Christian. There's a spiritual opportunity right now. Right now. Christian, how about you? Maybe God spoke to your heart about something. Spiritual opportunities that you're letting go. Spiritual opportunities that you're missing out on. Why don't you spend some time this morning with the Lord? Lord, I know I've let that opportunity slip by. I know I've heard that preached before and I haven't done anything about it. I know, Lord, that You've brought conviction about this sin in my life and I've really not even dealt with You about it. Well, here's the opportunity. Or is it going to be like every other time? You're just going to let that opportunity slip by. Lord, I'm really struggling right now. And maybe you're just struggling with discouragement. Maybe you're just struggling with just life itself. God doesn't want you to struggle. He doesn't want you to be discouraged. He wants you to go on His strength. I'm not saying that there aren't times where problems come into our lives or there aren't times where challenges come into our lives. But I can say this, that God has promised never to leave us nor to forsake us. He has said, yea, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. That He said He'll walk through it with you. Don't miss out on the opportunity when you're going through that to say to the Lord, Lord, I am discouraged. I need to sense your power and your presence more than ever before. It's a spiritual opportunity. Right now where you sit, spend some time with the Lord and talk to him about it. Bless now as we sing this hymn and conclude the service. Draw each of us closer to you. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. Thank you that just for who you are and all that you do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing a hymn this morning that we don't normally